Barbarian tribes of Rome, the Anglo-Saxons, their food, their drink, and their clothes. Now, the Anglo-Saxons had several different ways of producing food for their community. In terms of meat, they had hunting and herding, largely cattle and sheep. However, it's interesting to note that only pigs were solely raised to be eaten. Nearly every other animal would be herded had more than one purpose. For example, an Anglo-Saxon would herd sheep for meat, but they also for wool. Cattle produced milk if they were cows, or were used to plow land if they were bulls. Both cows and bulls would provide hides as well as meat when they were slaughtered. But interestingly enough, they would also use the connective tissue of the cows to make primitive glue. This wasn't really an exclusive Anglo-Saxon practice, as even ancient Egyptians used to make glue from different animals. Cow horns were also used to make drinking cups. One more useful animal part that the Anglo-Saxons often used was the fat, which they used to make oil for oil lamps. And no, poultry wasn't excluded from this either. Hollow chicken bones were, for example, used to make musical pipes. Even wild game wasn't just hunted for meat. Deer would provide the Anglo-Saxon hunter with antlers and skins, while the tusks of hunted boar, wild boars presented some of the greatest trophies at the time. The Anglo-Saxons were avid farmers, and they grew a wide variety of different crops. They ranged from rye and wheat to barley. Each of these was later used to make bread and or beer, but the Anglo-Saxons also grew vegetables such as peas, carrots, cabbage, parsnips, and celery, as well as fruit like apples, sloes, and different types of berries. Dairy products played a major part in Anglo-Saxon lives, so milk, butter, and cheese were common among the early kingdoms, especially with the common folk. Noblemen were the only ones who could actually afford to eat meat frequently, as it was a luxury the churls could only sometimes afford. Poultry was also frequent in Anglo-Saxon times, and while they did eat chicken and duck meat, the lower classes would mostly raise them for their eggs. A typical churl meal would include bread, cheese, and eggs. These eggs could be either come in form from a domesticated bird, such as chicken, ducks, or geese, or from wild birds. Fish-wise, the Anglo-Saxons preferred the taste of herring, eel, salmon, perch, pike, and other fish. Fish remains were found in Anglo-Saxon toilet pits, suggesting that they ate them frequently. In fact, a 10th century text called Alfric's Colloquy contains an interesting passage about how Anglo-Saxon people fished. From this text, we see that the medieval people of England enjoyed a wide range of both freshwater and saltwater fish. Bread making was equally important as fishing, if not more so. Women would bake the bread on a griddle or in a clay oven, while the flour would be ground to a separate hand churn of stone used to help grind various materials by hand. Sometimes the bakers would grind the flour at a water mill nearby. Anglo-Saxon houses usually contained a central hearth, and oftentimes there would be a cauldron there. This is where the cook prepared soups and stews that were just as common as bread amongst the lower Anglo-Saxon classes. There were plenty of other food sources, such as wild birds, hare, wild berries, and of course, we can't have a meal without having something to drink. Surprisingly, the Anglo-Saxons didn't drink a lot of pure, clear water. The reasons for this are multiple. For instance, there were no system of catching water, rainwater. They could supply an entire settlement, and most of the fresh water inland was polluted or otherwise impure to drink. Lastly, seawater, at least for those settlements that were on the coast, wasn't and still isn't good for humans to drink. As such, the Anglo-Saxons would use barley to make a very light beer. It wasn't rich in alcohol, but it could quench the thirst of someone, from children to adults. Strong alcohol was also made, but the drink most Anglo-Saxons seemed to favor was mead. Mead is made from fermented honey. Since sugar wasn't available at the time, most people ate honey if they wanted to sweeten their food. In fact, most houses would have a beehive or two nearby. Drinking mead was already a major part in feasting of local chieftains, hence the term mead hall, which we famously know from Beowulf. Ealdormen, kings, and other wealthy men could sometimes indulge themselves in wine. However, very few people within the Anglo-Saxon kingdoms made wine, so they imported that from the Mediterranean. We've mentioned cow horns being used as cups. However, wealthy families had metal goblets for their drinks during feasts, and even their cutlery and eating utensils were elaborate. However, the churls would eat using more modest tools. For example, there were no forks at the time, so everyone used knives and wooden spoons. A churl would often eat from a simple clay or wooden bowl. There are some hints in written texts about leather drinking cups, but no evidence of these has been found by archaeologists as of yet. Early Anglo-Saxons didn't use clothing to distinguish different status, but as both the kingdoms and the clergy developed this class, divide was beginning to show even in what they wore. For example, silk was a material that was mostly worn by the rich, specifically kings, queens, and members of the clergy. When it came to clothing for the common folk, they largely used linen and wool. Average men of the lowest status could only afford to wear a simple tunic. Higher status usually meant you could afford a pair of trousers, or even an under tunic as well. They also wore caps and leather shoes. Women would wear gowns depending on their status. They would either have a simple standard gown or an elaborate piece containing an undergown and an outer gown. Cloaks were also common for both sexes, though men wore them more frequently, and king's cloaks had more elements to them. Kings would even have a leather tunic with sewn rings to distinguish them from the common folk. In terms of priests, they had to wear simple clothes that didn't contain any bright, distracting colors. As the 11th century rolled by, they wore an elaborate set of clothes, such as dalmatics, a type of tunic, chasuble, priest's vestment, and different types of hats. However, these elaborate clothing were reserved for archbishops and bishops. Regular monks had rougher, simpler clothing. Now, next time, we'll be looking at the architecture of the Anglo-Saxons. And then we'll be dealing with the travel, and then ultimately we'll get to some of the early Anglo-Saxon rulers. Now, the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture, by Owens, Attila the Hun, by Worrell, The Burgundians, by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths, by Burns, and The History of the Vandals, by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.